This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Getting up, getting out, or only just getting home? It's Joy Weekend Breakfast.
Okay, Jono, it's that time of the morning. We've got our guest in this morning. I am delighted to welcome back to the Joy Studios. Well, actually, the first time in here in St Kilda, to a very dear friend and a well-known rainbow expert here in Melbourne. Bill Calder, good morning, Bill.
Hello. Hello, Paul. Hello, Jono.
Thank you for coming. We organised some claps and cheers for you.
Yep. No, I ran the gauntlet through them as I arrived.
I've not seen you for months and months and months, Bill.
No, there's been, you know, something getting in the way of us, obviously.
A couple of years worth of lockdowns, but a quick spoiler alert. Bill and I are friends from before. Bill was a wonderful, a publisher by trade, but managed to create QTV, which many of you may have seen on Channel 31, which aired for three big seasons. But Bill, we'll get you in the studio for a whole different reason today.
Indeed you did. Yes. Talking about COVID, I picked up a COVID project, having, like all of us, getting stuck at home, and decided to write a screenplay, but discovered again that my forte is not fiction or dialogue, and I failed miserably in writing a screenplay. But the story was so compelling that it had to be told, so I just switched back to my strengths, which is journalism, and turned it into a documentary. The story being the publisher of the first free gay newspaper in Australia, Michael Glynn, who in 1979 started the Sydney Star, which still exists today as Star Observer.
Fantastic. And Michael Glynn's, so the story of Michael Glynn is a fascinating one, which I think you're going to give us a quick rundown on. But it's amazing that his legacy is still living on today through the Star Observer, and is still, you know, probably one of the most read queer published pieces of work.
Indeed. No, it's terrific to have that longevity. It's the papers I was involved with, unfortunately, aren't here anymore, so that's missing, but it's terrific.
It lives on in a digital way, yeah.
It does. But look, Glynn is, to give you the long story, as you mentioned, I did publish gay newspapers here in Melbourne for quite a long time. And then I subsequently did a PhD and a book about the history of gay and lesbian magazines across Australia from when they started in the early 70s. And I did the period up to 2000 when things started to change due to the internet. But when I was doing this project, the one that leapt out, Michael Glynn and the Sydney Star, I thought, if anyone's ever going to make a movie about anything in this story, that's it. I mean, the guy's a character, you know, he's a flawed hero. He was sort of this loud, rude American who marched in and generally upset a lot of people. He was very pro-business, anti the movement. He was misogynist and had no time for anyone who wasn't a real man, which is what his thing was, leather men and butch.
He was quite a butch guy with a big moustache.
He did. Yep. He was your classic clone sort of look or leather look. That was his world. And he wasn't very tolerant of anyone who wasn't of his world. So he's a flawed character, but he's a fascinating character too, because he actually evolved over time and started to, you know, when he started his paper, he just wanted more gay bars. He thought there weren't enough. They were shitty compared to America. He wanted to promote gay bars. He was friends with, you know, basically the mafia that ran all the bars. That was where he hung out. But in time, when he had a newspaper, he suddenly was confronted by all the issues that was hitting gay world in that early 80s period. And there was a whole bunch of, it was a fascinating period of history. There was obviously the development of Oxford Street, initially run by the mafia, but sort of changing over time. There was a lot of violence, murders, it beats, bashings.
And certainly a lot of agitation with the police at that stage.
And the police were the enemy in many ways. There was also, that was the start of Mardi Gras, which was not what it is today. It was basically
protest march.
Yeah, protest march, and a lot of people were arrested by the cops and bashed up. And so the police were part of that violence problem at the time. And they were, of course, getting kickbacks from all these bars that Michael Glynn was friends with, and this was him seeing this started to change and evolve him. So he became very much an advocate against what the police were doing and what the bashers were doing, demanding change and using his newspaper in the way that newspapers tend to get used, which is to agitate for change. He initially opposed Mardi Gras. He tried to get it shut down. But again, he changed with time and ended up on the board and being a real promoter and an active participant in Mardi Gras. There was law reform. It was illegal to be gay still at that stage. And he took on that fight and promoted that era. And of course, then there's the big one, which is HIV/AIDS that swept through his beloved community, which was, yeah, you know, that Oxford scene, the leather men, you know, they were just devastated by HIV and AIDS coming through.
And Bill, do you think he was an American and he'd come to Australia? Do you think he'd taken some of his more liberal ideas from the States and was suddenly faced with a situation in Sydney that he thought just was unfair?
To some extent. I mean, I think that's some of that cross-pollination of ideas. I mean, the gay lib movement was more advanced in America at the time and really just finding its feet in Australia. So he had that experience of seeing things that were happening in America that perhaps gave him a confidence. He was somewhat estranged from his family, but they weren't here. So
why did he come to Australia? American.
He'd seen a surfing movie that had Aussie blokes in speedos. And that's what drew him.
I'm sure he's not the first American to come to Australia because he saw some Aussie blokes in speedos on the beach.
Yeah.
So, but how do you begin to tackle that story then? Because there's an awful lot of stuff within the man and the story about him. How did you tackle it?
Well, I've done it in classic doco style, which is I've interviewed people who knew him to give their stories and memories. And I've interviewed historians. Dominic O'Grady, who actually worked on the Star as an editor, he went off and did a research project on Michael Glynn. So he's very well informed. So it is interviews. It's also using ACQUA, the queer archives that are based just below
us here at Joy, yes.
And they're a wealth of archival material. So
it's an interesting point because I know for a fact that during your lockdown, you had to try and squeeze in those interviews because you were also concerned that, you know, Glynn passed away sadly a few years ago, but also getting access to people who still are alive that still knew him was also a problem. So you managed to get a sneaky trip up to Sydney.
I did indeed. I spent 2 years on travel watch and taking my moments. As soon as any border opened, I leapt across it and did interviews, and we did a second trip actually doing some more footage up in Sydney. Shouldn't say this, but we did do some reenactments in Melbourne. We tried to make it look like Sydney, but we haven't lied, and that's yourself actually was part of that.
I'm running up and down some back stairs in the streets of the CBD.
Simulating the sort of clubs.
Seedy bars that Michael Glynn may have gone to.
That's the sort of thing.
How did Paul go? Did he cut it as an actor?
Oh, look, he is. He's a natural, I tell you. One take wonder.
Every single one take. So just break the story down for us. So how does the doco pan out, Bill?
It's basically longitudinal with time. We talk about why he came to Australia and how he got involved. We unpack his personality and we touch on those different issues, the dynamics of Mardi Gras at the time, of the violence at the time, AIDS at the time, law reform, the development of Oxford Street. So, look, to be honest, I still want someone who knows how to write a screenplay and turn this into a, you know, a Harvey Milk
full-on
type. Yeah, 90
minutes. Incredible. I just watched the film of The Normal Heart, which is a well-known queer play, and it's kind of like, wow, there needs to be this Michael Glynn story of the Australian version of, like, The Normal Heart almost, you know?
It's there. There's all the material. Yeah. I mean, I'm touching on it with it's a short. It's 19 minutes. Mm-hmm. It needs an hour and a half of someone to really unpack it and bring it to life. But these are skills outside my pay grade, unfortunately.
If anyone is interested in getting in contact with Bill, who think they can add some skills to actually turn this into a full-blown movie, then please get in contact with us and we can pass on the details. How do you feel, having done all the research work on Glynn, and I know his story is vast, what's your take on him, Bill? Do you like him? Do you admire him? Do you have some opinion about what you think if you'd have met him in real life?
I briefly passed him in a corridor once at a gay conference, and I was hanging out with the lefty activists, and he came in and berated and yelled at us all, and we were generally horrified and shocked by him, and I was bemused. But, I mean, then I was 19 or something, and you're waving a flag, and it's things are black and white. But I mean, now I'm much more nuanced. Like, yes, he's a flawed hero. There's a lot of things that are flawed about the man, but the man contributed enormously to the movement in his own way. And this is the very essence, I think, of you know, the gay world. I keep using the words because that was the early 80s words. I'm stuck in that moment. Uh-huh. But it's a whole variety of people that have contributed across the journey. And today there's a new variety of people contributing to the continuation of that journey. And it goes to the very heart of diversity, which is we are all sorts of people. And he was a particular sort of person.
Mm.
Do I like him? I probably wouldn't want to sit down and have a beer with him. Maybe I would. I'm not sure. He would probably rub me up the wrong way, but I can see the tremendous contribution he made
to our community.
To our community, yeah.
And I think that's the key thing in people's journey through life is that hopefully they do evolve. And I think that, as you say, like in 2022, our minds have been so expanded, and the whole conversation around gender diversity is a big one, and there's been so many changes. And for those of us that are not that young generation, like we're moving and evolving and understanding things a little bit more. And it sounds like he did that too. And so I feel like we have to allow people the chance to evolve, you know, and that's a really important point in life, you know.
Okay, you're getting all philosophical.
Well, because I think it's dangerous that, you know, if obviously people do very bad things that are unforgivable as well sometimes, but that's extreme. But if someone has a certain view and then, you know, 10, 15, 20 years later down the track, they evolve to have a different view, we have to allow that. That's part of the human condition, I would hope.
Yeah. It's the growth and development of us all, and certainly politically, that's important to let, you know, it's the threshing out of ideas. I mean, he threshed out his ideas that others threshed out against him, and both sides probably influenced each other a little bit. But
And we got progress.
We got progress.
Which is the important thing. Bill, we're out of time, but if people want to see this amazing documentary, it's going to be filmed as part of the Sydney Mardi Gras program.
The Mardi Gras Film Festival, yes, which is Queer
Screen, which I think is actually, so the program runs from February the 17th right the way through till March the 3rd.
And this screening is part of Aussie Shorts on Sunday, February 27, 5 p.m. in at the George Street Cinema in Sydney.
So jump onto the Mardi Gras Film Festival website and you'll get all the details there. It's called Star Man. And it'll be part of that film festival. And if you're interested, you can always get in contact with us here at Joy, and we can put you in contact with Bill if you want to try and take this project onto a new level. Bill, well done. I've seen it. It's an amazing piece of history captured in a beautiful way. So well done for taking that story and bringing it to life for our community. In years to come, people will be able to look back and understand a little bit of the history that was part of the queer development here in Australia. Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
Now, Bill Calder there, talking about the short documentary called Starman, screening at the Mardi Gras Film Festival in Sydney in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.